Praise God, praise God. Good morning to everybody and welcome to Healing School. Healing School is the place where people come to hear and be healed. I want to repeat that. Healing School is the place where you are now, where people come, where you can come to hear and be healed. Jesus said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge because they don't know that he's a healing Jesus. They don't know that the devil is a washed up, finished, defeated devil. And you don't have to put up with his antics and his games. No, Jesus defeated him. And Jesus announced to the whole entire earth, to all of heaven and earth, by his stripes, you and I were healed. He have done it. Now, we have to learn of it and receive it. Yes, we do. Well, good morning again. God bless you this morning. Grab pen and paper and get ready to take some real good notes because you're going to be blessed again today. So then faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So this morning we are talking about the software of your mind. The what? The software of your mind. See, listen. Change your thoughts and change your life. Do what? Change your thoughts and change your life. Good morning, Prophet.
Morning, good morning, good morning. Praise God, good morning to all of you. And we thank God that you have joined us this morning.
Amen. Amen. Well, Prophet, we can go ahead and begin.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, we're talking about the software of your mind. Our foundation scripture is coming from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and the Amplified. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. Romans 12 and 2, God's original plan was for man to have complete dominion in this earth. For the church, that's who we are, to operate in the fullness of this plan requires a transformation from the world's way of thinking and living to God's way of living. Amen.
Can we pause a second?
Yes.
Let's pause there a second. In order to have a transformation, if I could say it that way, in your body, you want to be healed. You are seeking healing. You're looking for the healing power of God. It requires a what? A transformation.
Yes.
A changing. How you think. How you believe. Many people are trying to receive a spiritual thing with a natural mindset. This is not how can I say this, Prophet? This is not normal. This is supernatural. You cannot change. See, healing is spiritual. You cannot get a healing from God and just keep thinking the way that you are thinking.
Okay.
because you are being fought. The devil is steadily bombarding you. He's hitting you. I mean, he's hitting you left and right. And when you look like, hey, he take his other hand and pray to God. He wants you to thank God has put this on you. He wants you to thank God is doing this to you. But you're going to have to change that software in your mind. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Be not conformed to this world, but be changed, be transformed, be changed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. You're going to have to think different. Mm-hmm. Come on, prophet. Jump in anyway.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, you do. So this is not only, it doesn't just take faith, but a renewing of the mind.
Yes.
We must realize that what is on the inside of us is more real than what is on the outside. So mm-hmm. we have the three components of the mind. Consciousness, how they operate, and how to retain. I'll say it again. Consciousness, subconsciousness, how they operate, and how to retain the subconscious.
Yes.
So how to separate yourself from the world's way of operating? We must first understand that there is a big difference, right?
That's right.
So how to transition your thinking from bondage or wilderness mentality to a Canaan land image? How we do that? We first start the transformation. And if we receive that, we can start that transformation today. You renew your mind, first of all, to the word of God, mm-hmm. so that you can live according to your inheritance as a believer and realize increased success is everything you set your hand to do. I'll say that again. We must believe and realize increased success is everything you set your hand to. Amen. The transforming power of renewing your mind, it may sound to you to be simple, but it's something that really changes your thoughts. It could affect your entire life. But first of all, it's a scriptural truth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We must realize it's a scriptural truth. So we must learn, amen, scriptural strategies that will get us out of the comfort zone of mediocrity to think constructively and optimistically about ourselves and our future. How we can move into the seemingly impossible and develop the courage to achieve great things for God. Amen.
Wait for a second.
Yes.
Something is going on here. Can y'all tell? A transformed mind is not just reading the Bible. And that's a good thing to do. But just reading the Bible won't transform your mind. You have to make a decision about what you are hearing. So the faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, watch this, the God kind, the what kind? The God kind of faith, which he created the heavens and the earth with. The God kind of faith, you have to make a decision. You know what? It's mine. Now, if he didn't want me to know about it, prophet, he shouldn't have never put it in his book.
That's right.
Now I have access to it and I know about it. Now it's mine. Mm-hmm. See, you have to make a decision that I'm not going to stay sick. You got to change that software in your mind. Because see, if you stay on the same software, you read the word, but listen. But if you keep talking sickness and disease, woe is me, nothing will change. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Nothing is going to change because you keep nullifying what you say you believe. Listen, write this down. Never repeat what that bad diagnosis that the doctor gave you. Find another way to say it. But do not, for God's sakes, in your sake, don't repeat what the devil said. Now, this is healing school, right? Let me tell you why. Because you see what the doctor told you, that bad diagnosis is a curse. When you repeat that, you are cursing yourself. You are in agreement. It didn't come from God. It comes from the devil. See, God wants you to live out your whole entire lifespan. No such thing, where's my time? It just must have been my time to go. It must have been her time, his time to go. That is not true. Jesus said, I came so you can have what? Life. And have it in abundance. Have it to the full till it runs over. You see it?
Amen.
But if you don't change that software in your mind, the devil will take you out so quick and so fast. Real fast. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn what about him? He's a healing Jesus. He's a loving Jesus. He wants you to live. He put you on this earth for a reason. And he want it fulfilled. He said, I'll satisfy you with long life. All right.
Praise God. That is so true. Well, we know an angry, furious person, someone who has allowed their offenses and their hurts to rule their soul, really cannot be your friend.
Now, listen to this now. Pay attention to words.
If you hang around an individual who refuses to forgive, who will not submit to God's word or his spirit, don't you know you are hanging around with and having fellowship with the enemy?
That's right.
You're opening your soul to be influenced by the devil. God is letting you know where the danger to your soul lies. And this is his wisdom.
Yes.
He's telling you this to keep you safe. Your angry friend is being used by the enemy to steal your destiny, your family, your money, even your heritage. Proverbs 21 and 25 in the Amplified says, if you want too much and are too lazy to work, it could be fatal.
So somebody really needs to change their mind then, huh?
Amen.
All right.
Praise God. So let's look at defeating the enemy of your soul. If we are to keep our minds renewed with the word of God and live the high life, we must be wise when it comes to who we hang around with, who Absolutely. We date, who we marry,
wow,
who we live with, who we work with, and who we trust with our lives.
Listen.
Go ahead.
You and I have seen so many people sleeping with the enemy, married to the enemy. I want you to hear this. Again, Jesus said, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. The greatest mystery is how to become one. Now, talking about changing the software of your mind. How do you marry a person who don't want to be one with you? What I believe, and you believe what you believe, and that's it. Listen to me. You're doomed before you ever get started. Amen. That's not going to work. Well, I think we need to get a premature, how do you say it?
Yeah.
A prenup. Mm-hmm. Listen. If you feel that way about the person, he or she, don't marry him. Because listen to me, you are already admitting to defeat. See, we're talking about changing your mind here. We're talking about getting this mind renewed. You go on date with this man. You're not married to him. You go on a date with him. And he hits you for whatever reason. Do you think you're going to be successful in a marriage with him? No. No, no. You got to renew your mind. If you're taking notes, write this down. Unless your mind is renewed with the word of God, all the red flags could be there. Danger, danger, warning, warning, danger. But guess what? You don't see any of them. Why? Because of the software that's running in the back of your mind. See? You can't see. And if somebody tried to tell you, you would get offended. In many cases, people do. Yes, they do. But you got to change that software. You must change that software. See, what are you learning from the word of God? James said it this way. Don't be hearers of the word only, deceiving yourself, but be doers of the word. Don't keep saying you want to be healed, but you believe God put sickness on you. How do you do that? You got to stop that. Why? You are siding in with the enemy, the devil. He's the one who gave you that thought, not God. God wants you healed. God's will is always healing. It'll never change. Never. Mm-hmm. I said never. All right.
Praise God. Never, it will never change.
Never.
Proverbs 21 and 23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles.
Yes.
Amen. The devil is your enemy. He is nothing but a troublemaker. And this verse of scripture is telling you that a key to keeping trouble away from your soul is to watch what comes out of your mouth.
Say that again.
The way to keep trouble away from your soul is to watch what comes out of your mouth.
And your soul consists of your mind, intellect, will, and emotions. Your words are very important. You're going to have whatsoever you say. It's coming. It's on its way. It's a spiritual law. And listen to me, it never changes. So you got to put your hand over your mouth. All right.
Amen. I like that. Praise you know, God. So the enemy knows that he can do what, watch this, only. Watch that word, say only.
Only.
He can do only what human beings give him permission to do.
Yes.
Did you know that?
That's right.
Satan knows. You're saying, I hear someone saying, you're kidding me, right? No, we're not kidding you.
That's right.
This is a fact. It's a fact. Yeah. And he knows this. He can do only what you give him permission to do.
That's right.
So if you speak trouble, you give him permission to make trouble.
Absolutely. That's
you know, I'll pause right here and I'll go on for a minute, take a little journey, a detour here, Apostle.
Come on.
How we've been talking about in our teaching, in our training throughout the week, that Jesus, if you follow his teachings, if you follow Jesus all through the New Testament, you'll see he never spoke the problem.
Never.
We can give you many examples. The woman with the issue of blood. There was no word spoken between him and her, but Jesus never, he knew the problem was that was going on with this woman from the minute she touched him. He knew. When you notice, he never spoke the problem.
That's right.
He opened his mouth and said, who touched me?
Yes.
He said, because I perceive virtue, which is power, has gone out from me. He knew that. He knew the need for that power to come out of him. He knew exactly what was going on. He didn't address it. He spoke the answer. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Are you listening?
That's right.
The woman that was brought to him, they said she was brought. She was caught in the very act.
Yeah.
Of adultery. Jesus never addressed the problem. He never spoke, even though he knew by his actions, how can one person by themselves commit adultery?
That's right.
Are you listening to me? But you notice he never addressed that, Apostle.
Never did.
But he did by his actions. The Bible says he knelt down and started writing on the ground. And a lot of pastors like to use that passage to make fun and say, he probably was writing the names down of those other ones had slept with. But he didn't say a word about the problem. What did he say? He said, let him who is without sin, come on, cast the first stone at her.
That's what he said.
And didn't he say that?
That's right.
And we can go on and on and on. When the Jairus sought Jesus to heal his daughter, and they came and said the daughter was dead. He was on the way to Jairus' house, right?
That's right.
And they said, never, don't trouble the master anymore.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Because your daughter is now dead. Because Jesus stopped a little while and dealt with the woman with the issue of blood. Those of you you study your Bible, you know that. He was on the way there, but then the woman stopped him. And so here they come. Oh, well, you know how people are. Well, never mind. It's too late. Jesus looked at them and he never addressed the problem. They said she's dead. He didn't say that. What did Jesus say? How many of you remember what he said? He said, fear not. She's only sleeping. Are you listening? He never dealt with troubled words.
That's right.
And so this is a good example. I pray you pick it up. This is how you protect your soul. This is how you protect your own spirit. Because, you know, just like we said a few minutes ago, Satan knows that he can only do what you give him permission to do. And how do you give him permission? Through your words.
That's right.
There's going to come a time in your life, those of you who are following this ministry, It's going to hit you one day that words is everything.
Yes.
That your words are more important than all the money you have. You may be a millionaire listening to us out there today. You may be a billionaire. I pray, God, that many of you are. Yeah. That's wonderful, because we need money to do things in this world.
That's right.
So we're not against the money. But the point I'm trying to make is, do you realize that your words are more important than the money that you have in your bank accounts? You say, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. I promise you this much. I know this better than I know my name. The money that you now have in your bank accounts, and I'm just using that because we put so much value on money. But we should be putting the value on our words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the money that you have, if you trace back, if we go back to before you had that money, I can tell you this, all that money came because of words that you spoke.
Yes.
Words were involved in you acquiring that money that's in your bank account. You spoke something. You spoke it into existence. You made a plan. You had a step-by-step plan how you were going to be successful, how you were going to get this job, how you were going to get this done. And what was the purpose? What was the goal? The ultimate goal was, of course, to acquire riches. And it came. But the point that I'm making here is, child of God, your words are more important than all your worldly possessions.
Yes.
Your words. It's your words.
That's right.
Satan can only do what you allow him to do. And how do you allow him to do it? By what you say.
That's right.
I'll say it again. If you want the scripture, Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, he keeps his soul from trouble. So what we're saying is that a key to keeping trouble away from your soul is to watch what comes out of your mouth.
That's good.
We're in healing school this morning. There was a big attack on my body on yesterday. A big attack. Mm-hmm. You say, well, you mean to tell me you are a woman of God and you have attacks from Satan? I do more than you do because of the line of work that I am in, because of the assignment that's on my life.
Yeah.
Because of the assignment that I have to speak the word of God, because of the assignment that I have to pray over your life and to pray and agree in agreement with you, because of the watch unto prayer assignment that's on my life. Of course, I come under attack. Satan is not just going to sit still and say, oh, well, let her go ahead and speak those words and let her go ahead and pray for those and let her go ahead and study the word. No, there's attacks that come. I brought that up to say this. When that attack came, the first thing out of my mouth was to pray. Not to say what the attack was, not to even give it a name, not to even mention it. I haven't given it a name to take this day. And I know what it was. I know exactly what it was. But that was not important. What was important was that what's in me, the word of God is in me. And immediately, I had to just transition myself from the feelings, and the feelings were, my Lord, they were mighty upon my body. They were heavy upon me. That attack came with full force.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? But thank God, I know, and I want you to know, even when those things happen to you, the most important thing is not the doctor. Thank God for the doctor. You want to get there. Some of you must get there. But the first line of defense when these things happen is you close your eyes and you listen from the inside of you what God said about your body. Because that's the truth. Are you listening?
That's right.
Not the attack. The attack is facts. It's a fact that it is there. It's a fact that that thing is trying to take you out. That it's a fact that that thing has been sent to hinder the move of God. It's been sent to hinder your life. It's been sent to hinder and cut short your life. It's been whatever reason it He sent it for. He sent for to do the work of the devil. But you have to understand the weapons of your warfare is not an AK-47. It's not a Saturday night special or whatever guns we may carry. It is not a 22. It is not a 45. No, it is the word of God coming out of your mouth.
That's right.
That's the most important thing that is needed when that attack comes.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Mark 11, and I allude to it all the time, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And they're having a heyday, a field day. And they're marveling over the tree that he spoke to. Master, look at the tree.
Yeah.
That tree that you cursed yesterday. Look at that tree. They were marveling because it withered away and died. And I love the attitude of Jesus here. I love it. I just love it. I live my life by this. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And his response to them. Think about what I'm saying to you now. They're going off over a tree. The tree is dead. Master, the tree is dead. He never even mentioned the tree. Look what he said to them. His response was, the Bible says, and Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God.
It's good.
That's verse 22 over in Mark 11.
Yes.
All that stuff they're going, Master, 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 look at the tree. He said, listen to me. He answered them. He said, have faith. And in your Bible, if it's like it is in my Bible, it's written in red. That was his response to them. That's to let you know this is what Jesus is. He's answering them now.
That's right.
So the most important thing for them to, for those disciples to get out of what Jesus was about to tell them is, what he was saying. What was he saying? See, if you have faith in God, he said, you're getting excited over a tree? He said, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If you have faith in God, like I'm telling you right now,
yeah.
He said, what was done to that tree? He said, you can speak to a mountain.
That's right.
And that mountain would obey you. Come on, guys. You got to get this.
That's what he said.
You got to get this. Are you listening to me? Don't tell me your words are not important. I know they are. And Jesus knew they were. See, that's why he said, you're getting excited over a tree, a little tree. He said, mm-hmm. Do you know that if you have faith in God? See, that's where his power came from. Jesus' power came from the fact that he was connected to his Father. His faith was in the fact that his Father had given him the commandment to speak to anything and it would obey him.
That's right.
And he believed that.
That's right.
And he's trying to bless them. And we're trying to bless you this morning because we're hitting you with the sincere milk of the Word of God. And see, if you believe it and if you receive it, you too will have victory over every attack that's coming on your body. And I know you're under attack. You wouldn't be in healing school if you were not under attack. We're trying to show you how to get out of these attacks. We're trying to show you how to come out of them successfully. We're trying to show you what you can do. Not saying don't go to the doctor. We're not saying that. But the first line of defense, child of God, is what we're sharing with you this morning.
That's right.
You should make sure. And see, this is why we stress, don't wait until you need to exercise your faith to go and try to get some faith. No, you should be getting faith right now.
Yes.
Before you need it.
That's right.
See, if I waited until I needed faith, until that thing hit me on yesterday, if I was trying to scrabble up some faith when that thing hit me, do you know I wouldn't have had enough faith to deal with that big old attack that came on me. I wouldn't have had it. Because it's too late to try to get faith when you need it. It's too late. That attack is already upon you. It's upon you. It's mightily upon you. And you need to have your faith intact right now. Are you listening to me, Covenant Partner? So you must pay attention to the word of God. The Bible says, how does faith come? Faith comes by what? By hearing and not having heard. You hear us every Saturday morning and thank God for that. But you need to keep coming.
That's right.
You need to keep listening to the word of God. You need, and don't just listen to it on Saturday morning. Go back and do the replay. You can go over and make us say it, back us up and make us say it over and over again until you get it. Write it down. Take notes. Start journaling so you can, in your spare time, go back and listen to what God said. He said, if you have faith in God, you can take a mountain out, let alone a tree.
That's right.
So if you have that kind of faith developed in you, that sickness, that disease, that attack on your marriage, that attack on your family, that attack on your children, that attack on your finances, that attack on your community, that attack, it doesn't matter wherever it's coming from. But when many times, the first thing you have to do is keep your bodies healed and healthy. Because if you're not healed and healthy and strong in your confidence in your body, how can you help others?
That's right.
How can you do the will of God? How can you? You can't. That's right. So that's why healing school is so vitally important, that you stay healthy. Are you listening?
That's right.
Your words, whether you know it or not, is the most important possession that you have. It's the most powerful of all your possessions.
Amen.
Because if you don't have your health and strength and you die prematurely, what good is all that money going to do you? Who's going to enjoy it?
Yeah.
See it? So the devil is your enemy. He is nothing but a troublemaker. And this verse in Proverbs 21:23 is showing you, if you watch what comes out of your mouth, you will keep your health, your strength. You will keep it. Don't give place to the devil. Don't talk about the problems. Don't keep talking. We go to the doctor. Yes, we find out what the problem is. And we say that, right? And then we might tell our spouse, well, here's what the doctor said. But you don't just keep advertising what the doctor said. Now it's time to bring in what? The answer to the problem.
Yes.
And when you study Jesus, you'll see that. Child of God, we're not telling you something that we believe out of our own personal beliefs. We're telling you what the Bible teaches.
That's
Jesus
right.
Never dealt with the problem, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't just keep rehearsing the problem. Oh, you know what they did me 24 years ago. 24 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Forget that. Forgive that person and move on. Forgiveness is not for the other person, child of God. It's for you.
That's right.
Because God said we must forgive, see? And that's why we do it. Because he said, forgive your enemies.
Mm.
He said, pray for them. Oh, come on now. You say, you're kidding me. No, I'm not. Go over there, Matthew. Go and look over there, Matthew, up around, you know, Matthew 5 and somewhere around verse 44 or something. You'll see it for yourself. He said, pray for those people. We're not giving you our thoughts here this morning. We're giving you what thus said the Lord God Almighty. We're giving you what works. We do it. We use it. If it works for us, it will definitely work for you. Amen? Because
right.
You are a man or woman of God, and you love God with all your heart. And Satan will attack you for that very reason.
That's right.
But you don't have to put up with that. So there you have it. Big, big sidetrack. But I pray it got my point over. Amen?
Amen. That's good. That's good.
Praise the Lord.
You talk about the software.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, listen. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let me put it this way. Out of the abundance of the software that's playing in you, it's going to come out of your mouth. What's in you going to come out? Whatever CD is in that CD player, and you hit play, that's what's going to start playing. Your words for life or for death will start playing when you speak. You know how you upgrade something? You can give yourself an upgrade. You can upgrade that software. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Depth and life is in the power of your tongue. Don't listen to me. I want to back up to this prophet. When you say or give that bad diagnosis again and again and again, what the doctor said, you are cursing yourself. Because Jesus said, what? You're going to have what? What you say. Believe those things which you say in Mark 11:23. Shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So we speak what the doctor's saying. We believe what he said. But you're cursing you. Find another way to communicate that. Never curse yourself. Again, death and life is in the power of your tongue. What are you saying? People are speaking, they are saying things, and they don't realize their words are keeping them sick, prophet.
Amen.
Unforgiveness will keep you sick. It could even kill you. Well, I just can't forgive them. I'll never forgive them. I'll die before I forgive them. Did you hear those words? That's siding in with the enemy. Jesus said, forgive. And he gave us his ability to do that. Speaking anything other than faith is the same thing as swallowing poison.
Amen.
It's the same thing. Are you getting this today? The software must change. Look. Death and life is where? It's in the power of your tongue. You have exactly what you are saying. There are people who worry about things that never have happened yet. People are walking around today. Everybody's angry. Oh, you know that the people are angry. They're upset. Stop that. Are you listening to me? You are taking somebody else's poison. Mm-hmm. This is healing school, right?
Amen.
The Bible said, prophet, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. I believe we talked about last week.
Yes.
A wholesome tongue. What's a wholesome tongue? A tongue that side in with God, that says what the words say. That's a tree of life, not a tree of death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tree of what? Life.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the Bible, you will see trees, 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 trees. One scripture says, every tree that the Heavenly Father have not planted shall be plucked up. Every tree. Change that software. Start cursing that tree from the root. How? Change the software. Are you listening to me? Change the software. A live plant in your house cannot survive long. What wrong words, harsh words, mean words are spoken. A live plant will tell it every day. Yeah, it will. It will tell it. Well, prophet, awesome.
Amen. If you don't mind, Apostle, I'd like to give the scripture that you have in your notes.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it'll help us to understand, too, what to do when we've made a mistake. Because one of the things Satan wants us to think, well, it's too late. You've said all that stuff now, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, I like this scripture you have listed here. It says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, if thou hast thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth.
Wow.
Proverbs 30 and 32. Mm-hmm. So what is he saying? When he said, lay your hand upon your mouth, he's saying, stop talking like that. See it? Just put your hand over your mouth and change your vocabulary. That's the first line of correction right there. Don't think that, you know, well, it's too late for me. You know, I've said, no, we have, first of all, let me give you this one. First John, write it down. First John 1:9. He said, if you confess it. So you go say, Father, I've said many foolish things. And I repent because of your word. You're telling me to confess it. So I'm confessing it. And I'm asking you to cleanse me now. And then the next thing you're going to do is, how do we correct it going forward? How do we protect ourselves? You lay your hand upon your mouth before you speak. What does that mean? Think before you speak. Mm-hmm. Pause. Don't be so quick to answer. The Bible even tells us in many places, be quick to hear, but slow to what? Slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what lay your hand upon your mouth means. Amen?
That's right.
We don't want to just give you what the problems are. We want to give you the answers to solving the problems. You say, well, I'm doom and gloom. No, I'm not doomed. You're not doomed at all. You may have made mistakes. We all have. But see, Healing School will help us to correct those problem areas. Amen?
That's right.
There you have it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. All right. So as we were saying, thank you for that prophet. That is so powerful.